Welcome to the Missio Dei podcast. Missio Dei is a family of Jesus, joining God as he makes all things new in Chicago. Check us out online at missiodeichicago.com.
We are starting a new series today, and we're going to look throughout all of Scripture and look at some of the many, many names of God that we find throughout the Bible. Sometimes names are given to God by people. They've experienced a certain facet of God's character, the God who sees me, the Lord will provide, and they name God according to what they've just experienced. And sometimes it's a name that God has given as a self-revelation to the people. And that's what we have today. I Am is the name that God used to self-reveal. So we're going to look at the situation that prompted the assigning of the name. And then we're going to look at the part of the God's character that that name is honoring. What is that name saying about our God? And then every week, we're going to move into the Gospels, and we're going to see how that same facet of God's character is revealed in the person and the life of Jesus. Because this part's important, whether you're just visiting for the day, this is something you need to know. I'm going to summarize a huge Christian mystery in one sentence. Our God is a triune God, a Trinity, okay? God exists as one God in one essence, as three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So what that means for us today is that whatever we see or read or experience, one person of the one true God, one of the persons of the Trinity doing, whatever we see that, we're seeing God doing that thing. So it's really cool to see in the person of Jesus that the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And so anything we see about a name of God given in the Old Testament, our first part of our Bible, anything we see fulfilled in the fullness of Jesus as the Son of God. And so we have this record in the Gospels of the living, breathing, teaching, loving, eating, walking, laughing, hanging out with friends, God, fullness of God, with all of the facets represented in all of the names that we're going to look at in the person of Jesus Christ. So that's the plan. It's our new plan for the fall. We're going to do this for a few weeks here, and we're going to have fun doing it. But you might be asking yourself, like, but why? Like, why does do these names matter? Why? And it's fair, especially this morning, because we started off with a tough one where we're going to have to, like, focus on some details for a little while. Just for a minute, you're going to have to, like, extra focus because it's, like, grammar and stuff, just for a second. But so I don't blame you for saying why. It's a confusing name, this one. But I think that this can be a really valuable series for us to look at, because there's more to a name than just the label you use as your identification, especially in Old Testament culture of the time when these names were being written. Now, in our culture, that may not be the case. I'll use me as an example. My name is Melissa. It means honeybee. That has nothing to do with anything in the world. My parents weren't like lovers of honeybees, and so they decided to, they didn't mean anything. It's just they liked the sound of the name. My middle name is Lynn. That's been passed down from my grandmother to my mother to me. That's kind of cool. I never ever use it. Nobody knows my, well, now you all know my middle name is Lynn, but other than that, like, it's not a lot of meaning behind a name. Some of you may put more meaning behind the names of your children, but for a lot of us, we pick something that sounds wonderful and we love in our culture. But in the Old Testament Hebrew culture, a name stands for who the person is, their character, their fame and honor, their reputation based on their deeds. Kind of like how we might say, like, my good name is at stake. It's all wrapped up in some of these names. And that's especially true when it comes to the names of God revealed in Scripture. Our invisible triune God is so mysterious, but the names give us sort of more of God to consider, a different part of God's character or experience of God to consider. So there's just so much more to look at, and we can just meditate on these names. Also, this part's really cool. It was thought that to know God's name was to sort of enjoy a privileged access to God. You must be in relationship with this God if you know this God's name. And so that means that once you know a name, you get to cry out to God and use that name relationally. It's once you have it, use it, and you're in a relationship. There's a relational invitation to call God by various names. And so we're going to be calling on the facets of God, and that's why I think it's going to be exciting to go through these and look at these from week to week. And I'm glad that today's name comes in the story of Exodus. We've been hanging out, if you're visiting us, we've spent the summer hanging out in the book of Exodus. And so we've been looking at some of the conversations back and forth that have been happening between God and Moses. And this is one of those. The conversation Sam just read comes right after God has called Moses back into Egypt to go and to lead the people out of slavery. So this is like the precursor conversation, the burning bush, if you know that story. That's when this is happening. He's calling and saying, it's you, I've picked you to lead my people, okay? And so when this moment happens and Moses sees the burning bush and is first realizing that he's in the presence of God, do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. You guys, before the what Sam read, God's already made an introduction. I'm the God of the people of your history. And the Genesis story that just came before all of Exodus, all of those, I am that God. Moses knows who that God is. The introduction has been made, and Moses knows to hide his face. He knows reverence for this holy God. So this, he knows the God of this story already. And then God says, this is a paraphrase. God says, I've heard the cries of my people. I'm going to send you as my representative to them and to Pharaoh and to get them out of there. And then in our reading today, Moses says, who am I to do this thing? And God says, don't worry, I will be with you. That's going to come back up later. It's important. Then Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? What do I tell them? Now remember, Moses knows about God. He knows the story of the God of Abraham and all of that jazz. We already know that about Moses. So why would he ask for a name? We've already seen in Genesis, the book before Exodus, we've seen a handful of names been assigned already to God based on different facets of God's character and how people have experienced him. And so it seems here like Moses is maybe saying, which of those facets is going to be true for this plan to happen, right? He seems to be saying, maybe which name, or is there a new name? Maybe you're going to tell me that you're the Lord of power and might, or the God of wild rescue plans. Like, neither of those are assigned name in scripture, but both would work. You know, like, what's the plan? He's asking in the name for sort of, how are you going to do that? How are you going to be in this moment, right? He's basically saying, how are you going to show up? And this is God's reply. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. This is interesting. God is revealing a name. He first reveals it in a sentence. I am who I am. And then it becomes a name. Tell them I am is sending you. It's a strange name, isn't it? It's a strange sentence. It's a strange name in general. But it's beautiful. So first of all, you guys, the name is a verb. A verb is an action word, right? I am is the verb to be. So what this is communicating is a facet of God that is about being, sort of for all of time. I am. That's kind of a mic drop statement. And he's also about bringing others into being. He's all about being, both in God's self and in bringing about being. And it carries in the Hebrew both a present and future tense. So the future tense is where there's an expectancy. I'm going to be with you, right? Like, I am will be with you. That's kind of cool thing to remember. It's a promise. Don't worry. I am will be with you. And I know that this is a random moment to come into church and have like a verb tense lesson or whatever, but here's where you need to stick with me for just another minute. It's really cool, but we're still going to hang out in the grammar of this. I guess, is this a grammar lesson? I don't know. If there's teachers in the room, I apologize. The Hebrew consonants, so there's like two kinds of letters. There's vowels or consonants, whatever. The consonants in I am are similar to those in the name Yahweh, okay? That is God's covenant faithfulness name that's used all throughout Scripture. So it's the same group of four consonants that are used. Now, we don't see Yahweh all throughout our Bibles. If you read through your Old Testament, you'd be like, I don't see that anywhere, Melissa. It's all over the place. It's wherever you see the all caps Lord, different than all caps Lord, or the word God sometimes, but it's used over 6,800 times in the Old Testament, Yahweh. This is the covenant, faithful God. But the ancient Hebrew was written without vowels. So we filled in the vowels of Yahweh. The original writing of the word was just the four letters, YHWH in our English, okay? With no vowels. So ancient Hebrew was often written without vowels. So you guys, this is kind of cool. We actually don't know how the ancient Israelites would have spoken the four-letter word. We filled in some vowels. We don't even know because, in addition, it was customary in Jewish custom to not even speak that sacred name. It could be written, but you wouldn't even speak it. And so we wouldn't be pronounced. It would be written, and it's these four letters, and those are the same consonants that were so well known that come into play to be the word I am. It's the same. It's the same grouping. These same letters make it up in Hebrew. In this moment of self-revelation, through this name, this verb name, God is filling in to the people what the name Yahweh has always meant, what has always been about. Yahweh is the one who is, who will always be, who is about being and bringing others into being. I am and I will be with the people as they're liberated out of Egypt. So if you are a faithful Jewish person, you know your scriptures and you know that Yahweh equals I am. You know that that is the God of the all of the stories. It's the same word. So now we fast forward to John's gospel, okay? In the beginning of the New Testament, there are four gospels. These are different accounts of the same period of time, the ministry and the life and the person of Jesus, okay? And in John's gospel, Jesus self-reveals who he is as the Son of God person of the triune God, right? Using I am statements. And we're going to go through these pretty quickly, but this is important. Seven times, Jesus introduces himself with an I am statement. And remember how well known those, that word, that name would be to the people listening to him. Each of these statements is talking about a different facet of God's character, of Jesus's character as the role of Son of God. And each of them is introduced with an I am, and it would not have been lost on the people listening to these different facets, the facets of God's character that are revealed in Jesus. He speaks these statements absolutely in clear resonance with Exodus 3:14 that we read this morning. And the claim was undeniable because we see how people start to react to it. So here to the disciples, make sure it's super clear. He says it another time. He tells them about what's about to come on the cross. He's washing their feet at the Last Supper and he's telling them, here's what's going to happen, but don't worry. I'm telling you now before it happens. So then it does happen. You will believe that I am who I am. Does that name in sentence form sound familiar from just a few minutes ago in Exodus? That's the same thing. They would hear that. They would know the bigness of that claim. Here's a sassy one. Jesus says it to some of the religious leaders opposing him and just uses the direct name of I am. Very truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. Oh my gosh, they did not like that at all, you guys. They tried to stone him for that one, and he got away. You'll notice that he's also speaking to his preexistence within the Trinity, which is a truth. They are not having it. They try to stone him. They know that is the name of Yahweh. They know what he's implying. This is not subtle at all. So time would prove that Jesus was telling the truth, that in him we're seeing the fullness of Yahweh. And after the disciples witnessed all of his teachings, all of his miracles, his actions, his death, his resurrection, all of that, after they came to see, he was fully right to say, I am who I am. They're like, wow, He wasn't kidding. That was all true. This is the Son of God. And they start spreading that news, and the church is formed, and all of the goodness of God keeps getting spread around the place. The early church has described the fullness of God in Jesus this way. This is just really beautiful. Just like, listen to the beauty of these words. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. You guys, the Son taking the I am language of Yahweh links this mystery to the early church in a way that gave them that kind of clarity on the fullness of who Jesus is as God. So I found this is just really kind of interesting. On the fullness of God, pleased to dwell in Jesus. I found this interesting from one of my commentaries this week. Listen to this. The four greatest dimensions of the transcendent uniqueness of Yahweh God in the Old Testament are all affirmed about Jesus in the New Testament. Yahweh alone and supremely, according to multiple scriptures, is the creator of the whole universe, the sovereign governor of the history of all nations, the ultimate judge of all humanity, and the only savior of all who turn to him. Every one of those great functions of the living God of the faith of Israel is applied to Jesus in the New Testament. Jesus Christ does, has done, and will do what only Yahweh can do. That's the dynamic truth of the deity of Christ. And the early church knew this, and the I am statements were part of what let them see that. You guys, Jesus can't just be a good guy or a wise teacher in our minds. We see the fullness of the great I am revealed in the person of Jesus. I want to take this back to something I said towards the start. Once we know a name of God today, reflecting on the bigness of the great I am beingness of God, and also seeing the I am of the name of Jesus, right? Once we know a name, it's an invitation to use that name relationally. You now have the relational, not just ability, like invitation to now use that name that we know. And that's the part that leaves me in awe this week as we're starting into this series. The fullness of God, who self-reveals as I am, has also promised in these scriptures to be with us. In Exodus, in the story we read this morning, just before revealing this interesting name, Yahweh promises Moses, I will be with you. And in Matthew 28, when Jesus is sending his disciples, he says the same promise, I will be with you. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So when we reflect today on this particular name of God, given by Yahweh to the people being liberated from enslavement and then reflected perfectly in the person of Jesus, this is the God of being who promises to be with us. Both of these stories, there's that promise, both here in Matthew and then back in Exodus. The invitation is to know this God, know this name, and to come to trust this promise that have been made throughout scripture and has been true, promise to be with us. And then there's also ascending, to be sent by this same God. There's ascending of Moses, right? God is saying, I will be with you. Now you go and lead these people, because then they're going to go and be reflecting my character out in the world around them to other nations. I'll be with you so that when you go, I'll be with you. And reflect my way of life and love into the world around them. Then the sending from Jesus is the same. I will be with you as you, disciples, means followers of Jesus, as you then go and make more disciples, reflecting this same way to live and love into the world around you. It's the same sending that comes with this promise. So when we reflect on this name of Yahweh, it brings us certainly to worship. To worship, what a God. The completeness of being who brings all else into being as well. I am who I am. That just certainly brings us to worship. And it brings us to build trust with this I am who brought us into being and who promises to be with us. You said you'd be with us and you were. You were with us when you parted the sea. You were with us when you came as Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us. You've given the promised Holy Spirit. Like, it keeps on being true. You've built that trust. And with this worship and trust built into this story, there's always the worship and the trust being built has always been linked with mission, with sending. The people with a purpose for the name of good name of Yahweh to be known to all the nations, for the story and character of God as seen perfectly in Christ to be reflected outwards so others would also know, would also come to worship, would also come to trust, also know that they too are living in a big purpose story. I am with you. And you are part of my plan. That's what this story is telling us. You're part of my plan in and for this world. And that doesn't mean you need to change careers or go like move to some other corner of the earth somewhere on a mission. Doesn't mean that. That would be cool. I mean, if that's what you feel called to do, that would be a really cool calling. But for most of us, what this means to live in this purpose, to live in this story, most of it means, for most of us, it means worshiping the fullness of who Yahweh is. So just actually contemplating the fullness of the great I am and coming to a place of worship and then trusting, coming to a place to work on this built history of trust that God's promises are true and that God's presence is always with us. Maybe that's trying to learn to become aware of that in your workplace or in your neighbor friend group or on your commute, whatever. Like, how do you grow to trust that presence that is with us, not just at church on Sundays? And then it means to live into the purpose that our lives matter in sometimes really simple, seemingly mundane ways, right? Like, if you start to think about this, the bigness of the being of I am, who brought you into being, that is actually giving you a purpose, I will be with you when you have a purpose, then suddenly, doesn't it matter differently how you talk to your kids? How you maybe pick up the phone and call a friend who's on your heart because maybe you are going to trust that the Holy Spirit put them on your heart and you want to just show them some care and that they matter, right? It might be like a picking up of a phone call. It matters in the way we work or act with our neighbors, how we drive our cars. That one's a hard one for me sometimes. I get mad in my car more easily than I do to a friend. But like all of that stuff actually matters in real and important ways. How we live and love in little ways like Jesus. We live into a purpose. That's exciting truth, that the great I am has given us a purpose beyond the job you have or the titles that you carry, you know, mom, wife, sister, daughter, friend, whatever. Like, yeah, those are important. And how we live and love within those titles is important, but our purpose is something even bigger than any particular title that you carry. And so what I pray is that this name of God, I am, is sending you. That this name of God expands your own sense of being in response to the God of all being. Amen? Jesus, thank you for all that you are, that you revealed the fullness of the great I am, and that we have access to be with you because you've already promised. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you make that truth a reality. Help us to grasp that. We have a hard time grasping things we can't see or maybe touch, but God, We trust in your truth and help us to trust you more. Like that man prayed, I believe, help my unbelief. Help us to believe in this big truth of your being and your being with us, because it changes everything and it gives us a purpose that is just worth living for. So we love you. We thank you for this time. Please continue to mold us and bring thoughts and stir our hearts. And as we continue to worship your good name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in. We love to keep the conversation going. Find a weekly gathering or gospel community in a neighborhood near you. To find out more, check us out online at missiodechicago.com.